And now for something completely different.
It's a Rich Fast World. Forget everything you've been told by others before. Get ready for the real deal, the full story. Real talk about money, markets, life. Now, it's The Real Investment Show, presented by RIA Advisors.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Real Investment Show. I'm Rich Rosso here with Danny Ratliff, Certified Financial Planners. Welcome to the fourth quarter where everything is happy. Markets breaking out to new highs. Disney hits earnings estimates and exceeds based on their another streaming service. Listen, how many streaming services am I going to have to hodgepodge together? By the time I pay for all the streaming services,
you might as well just get some big package.
I might as well just go ahead and go back to cable because I'm not kidding. If I want to watch Marvel, I have to go to Disney. If I want to watch Longmire, I need to go to Netflix. If I want, I mean,
well, at least you can keep up with who's on what.
I don't know. All I'm saying is it's getting ridiculous for you to jumble.
I miss
all these packages.
Back in the day.
That sounds bad.
When we only had three channels.
Do you remember that? Then you had PBS, but you would just ignore that. You would turn the channel, go, paid for by the Chubb Group. And then you would just turn the channel, right? Because you didn't want to, what are you going to play? Sesame Street? Well, I did like Zoom and Electric Company.
Actually, yes. Down here in Houston, we had 2, 11, and 13, which still exist.
Because ABC, NBC, CBS.
Yeah, and then Channel 8.
But then you had your private. Didn't have, we had WOR in New York and Channel. We had independents that were even sometimes better than the national.
Later, but originally there were only three.
I'm just glad there was television when you were
young. TBS, you had WGN out of Chicago, TBS out of Atlanta.
WGN, right.
You had, little stuff like that.
Yeah. And they would play the campiest, coolest shows. I mean, I think programming, or people put more effort into programming years ago. Mm-hmm. Like right now, or anytime in July, you can watch, they're running Elf, right? they would make a big deal out of seasonal movies. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, look what's coming out, right? They'd make a whole big deal. Everything was at least given an effort. Today, it's like, what's my bra size?
Well, we're
24
what's the reality?
Hours a day. What is that station? Dr. Popoff sells me a back brace. All I know is there's a lot of junk.
Oh, yeah.
And much more confusing for consumers to figure out what services am I going to buy. And then you get on the auto subscription. So financially, corporations love that because you're going to pay every month and then you're going to forget about it.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Right. And I have all these streaming services. So if I want Hulu and all these others and Sling TV and all this stuff, I will wind up paying more.
Yeah.
Than just going back to basic cable, really.
Yeah. Well, if my Amazon Fire Stick doesn't have it, I don't need it. That's basically my solution.
Well, you know what? You have to go without it. And that's what I am going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go ahead and subscribe to every station. Yeah. I mean, every one of these services. Even though I love Marvel and some other things, now that Disney has them, right? And Disney's going to offer some special service for Disney Plus. Right, they're pushing that really hard. Once they give you the introductory rate, then you're on the full rate. Mm-hmm. So you really have to watch. And this comes back to a financial conversation about watching your budget with stealth categories and this auto subscribe that you consistently go to. Every service you have today, I don't care if it's Adobe Acrobat, Microsoft, Hulu, whatever it is, you're paying on this autopilot.
Yep.
And I find people do not spend a lot of time, I'm sure you do, Danny, going through their budget or their statements to figure out, hey, I'm paying for this subscription through Apple, and I haven't read this newspaper or magazine forever.
It adds
up quick. So you've got to be really careful. It adds up quick.
You know, I have a habit. It's like a gym, right? You don't ever want to cancel a gym membership because you're like, oh, I'm going to start working out again. I'm going to do this. but, you know, we haven't cut the cord going back to that because I don't have the time nor the energy to go through and determine.
No, it takes a lot of – it's almost like going through Medicare through open enrollment, okay?
I'd rather do that than
television open enrollment, all right?
Yeah. We don't watch enough television as it is. But
I got Brent laughing this morning. It is. It is like we're going to have to do a whole segment on enrollment for your entertainment.
Yeah.
And you could create our own enrollment period. And if you fall out of that enrollment, we're going to have to do that whole thing.
Hey, that's brilliant.
Thank you. That's what happens when I'm only on 2 hours sleep.
Cable open enrollment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, data services, right?
Yeah.
Once, Danny and I are going to create that, and then we're out of here. We're going to IPO.
You'll build.
We'll be like WeWorks.
Build an aggregator app.
Yeah, we'll be all a facade like WeWorks.
Yeah.
We'll have cool long hair, like the dude on WeWorks, and we'll just get that stuff out there.
Does he have cool long hair?
And then we'll be clients of RAA advisors.
He has hair.
Yeah, he's got. You know, he looks. Yeah, he's a cool looking dude.
Perfect.
Well, speaking of cool looking, the
markets have cooled down a little bit.
Well, but we're in a positive trend. You know, I've said this for the most part all year, is even though the markets have traded in a range, that it has definitely has had a positive bias to it. Even though it can't break out, it never really took a downturn, or at least a sustained negative downturn. Now, there was some sector rotation, obviously, into what we call the more non-cyclical areas of the market, staples, utilities, real estate, investment trusts. Now we're seeing this sort of real big move. We had the 10-year hit about 1.96 or so. That was a huge move. That was one of the biggest moves I've seen in probably 3 years.
It was, 12, 15 basis points yesterday? You know, it's interesting because I did talk to a handful of people yesterday evening, and I said, man, you know, I was watching the market. I figured the market would have had a much bigger swing. And if you put it in perspective, I think the market was up like 0.8%, but 200-something points, so it felt much bigger than it really was. And some people were saying, you know, I looked at portfolios, my 401k, and I was actually down.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Well, the bonds that spike in interest rates with the inverse relationship that you have with that, with your bonds.
So,
That, I think, took a lot of people by surprise because, I think it took many because we saw that such a quick spike because of the potential rollback of tariffs. Now, look, White House looks like they're not all that happy with this potentially.
No.
And this
I
may
don't
not
think
happen.
It's a done deal at all. So this huge rotation, I want to talk about that because Danny brings up an excellent point about market was up quite a bit yesterday, but you probably didn't budge from a portfolio perspective, or possibly you were down, and we want to talk about that when we get back. You're listening to The Real Investment Show here on 700 KACV, The Voice of Texas. We'll be right back. South of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double four time. You feel alright when you hear that music ring.
The Real Investment Advice Blog.
It's required reading for the informed investor.
Catch it today at realinvestmentadvice.com.
There's a ripple effect to every decision you make on every facet of your financial picture. What's your plan for success in the new year? I'm Richard Rosso, Director of Financial Planning for RIA Advisors. Let's make financial planning great again. Our next free Lunch and Learn features 10 financial rules that drive success, Wednesday, November 13th at 12:30 p.m. We'll show you how to take a holistic approach to making all your financial decisions, and we'll feed you lunch. Nothing fancy, but we'll show you how to enhance your ability to save, invest, and manage risk and debt. Register for 10 financial rules that drive success at RIAadvisors.com. Click on the Events tab. And we are back at the Real Investment Show. Hope you all staying warm. I know we're expecting some cooler weather here in town. I, for one, welcome it. A lot of people, like Clanton, are cursing it.
No. Just enduring it.
He's enduring.
That's not so bad.
It's not bad yet. So
as long as you don't have to shovel it off the driveway, I'm fine.
Isn't that the truth?
You know? I mean, I can deal with it.
Yeah, that's very true. Although we did have snow last year. We didn't have to shovel it, but it was pretty. pretty on all the trees, and
it's pretty annoying.
Was that last year? Man, time is flying.
Brett is like, you know, typical. Don't get me anything, anywhere, any kind of precipitation that turns into this white stuff that I have to even look at.
I already miss August.
My oh, goodness. Wow. Dang. Listen, there are some people who love the heat, right?
That's why I live here.
I know. Yeah.
And the humidity is good for your gill slits.
Yeah, I bet it is. So we're talking about all kinds of cool stuff, but one of the observations, which is very true, if you looked at your portfolio yesterday, even though there was all this banter about trade deals and tariffs being removed and new highs, you may have looked at your accounts going, wait a minute, I'll see it. Because really what you saw was a big sector rotation out of sort of dividend stocks, non-cyclicals, into some beaten areas of the market. But most important is something Danny mentioned, was the fact that yields went up and bond prices came down. So your mutual funds and bonds obviously did not perform well. So we're going into this risk-off part of the year. And Lance talked about this. He predicted this very nicely, that we would see this. The 10-year will probably only go so far. In other words, once you breach over 2%, I think it's around 2.1 or so, we would actually look to add bonds to the portfolio. Now, we have been short duration, which means we have been on the short end of the yield curve all year, which hasn't helped us in the beginning of the year, but I think will help us this fourth quarter. But you don't want to be dissuaded, and we talk about this all the time when bonds get beat up. You don't drop your bonds because they're losing some of their capital appreciation. If you own a bond fund, if this continues, your portfolio manager will make some swaps, change out to higher yields. So even though your prices are going down, yields will be going up. And again, interest rates can only go so far. They are a function of economic growth and inflation. We already saw what happened when interest rates started to move higher. What happened to the economy? 30-year mortgage rates hit close to 5%, and you pretty much stopped the darn market. Well, we can't handle rates to go above a certain level before we squash things economically. So
today's actually a very interesting day, Rich. So I'm glad you brought that up. So today marks the market high for the 10-year Treasury over the last couple of years.
Okay.
So November 8th of last year, we hit a high of 3.24 in the 10-year. Now we're at 1.9 and change. We've been as low as 1.4 only a couple months back. And so we're seeing this certainly the rotation, but we saw what happened. If you think back to what happened last quarter, which I know it's very easy to forget, is that we actually had one of the worst quarters we've seen since the 1930s.
Absolutely.
And it was terrible.
Horrible.
And a lot of that was sparked because of the Fed's verbiage saying, hey, you know, things are great. You know, if you remember back in October of last year, they said, we're a long ways from neutral was the verbiage.
Meaning that he was very hawkish.
We thought there's going to be a lot more growth. And what I think it equated to, we talked about, what does that mean from a perspective of growth? He was implying like 6% GDP, which we were way, way off from. So then October was down 10%. We get into November and rates had really started roaring right there. And he kind of he went back and reiterated that same thing. And then he comes back and says, after we saw rates and then nothing seemed to work, he said, hey, guys, whoa, we're actually wrong. We're not as we're not seeing the growth. So we're going to hang tight for the moment. And it's pretty interesting because the market had a good little week in there, right? I think this week of last year. And then all of a sudden rates started dropping. The market didn't quite believe it all. And we got all the way through Christmas, and it was just a rough time. Now, and a lot of that's based on what you just mentioned, that 5% we saw in 30-year mortgages. We saw things slow down. Mm-hmm. Things were coming to a grind. We also have to remember there's a ton of debt out there.
That's right.
So we see this revolving debt, interest rates increase. We see companies who had to refinance as debt comes due. These are all going to be bigger issues longer term. So right now, though, we may be actually be given a gift because we have seen a global synchronized convoy with central bankers in the sense of trying to reduce rates. Like, we see negative interest rates. Christine Lagarde, who's taken over Mario Draghi at the ECB, former head of IMF, mm-hmm. you know, they're talking about this is a good thing.
Oh, they think negative rates is the best thing ever because it saved an economy when it really is a sign of something is incredibly busted in the system when you have negative rates.
Well, there's a lot of things like that that mm-hmm. are going to be bad. And so if you are a politician, negative rates are they probably feel pretty good about it, right? Mm-hmm. Because they get to borrow money or That's take right. money in. It's a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. And so why do you think Trump floated the idea a month or so ago of 50-year and 100-year bonds?
That's right.
And he's on the Fed to reduce rates. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden, man, deficit looks a heck of a lot better, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We have totally ignored debt. And again, I know we print our own currency in the United States, but debt or increasing debt levels, I don't care if it's on the corporate level, on the sovereign or the government level or the household level, that does portend to lower growth.
That's right.
And we are seeing that. We are still, in the United States, the cleanest dirty shirt, and that means that we do have a better growth rate, closer to 2% on GDP than other economies. But this is the new average versus over 3 or over 3%.
You just can't see that anymore.
Which we don't see. And part of that is this debt burden that we all carry. And everybody has gotten, including corporations especially, sort of addicted to these low rates. You have benchmarked now to low rates. I don't know if you've seen the Twitter fight between William Shatner. Oh, no. My gosh. Because I guess if you're a baby boomer, the negative connotation is if a boomer's like telling younger generation, like, Danny, you got to go out there and get a job. You know, you're lazy. And you come back to me and go, oh, boomer. You know, because you're trying to say that, you know, boomers are out of it. They have no idea what's going on. And there was this whole Twitter fight with William Shatner beating up on these millennials and the millennials beating up on. I mean, he went into this.
I've got to see this.
This whole thing. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but it was relating to this story. Okay. In other words, the millennials are busting on the boomers for ruining the economy. Like, you took us to all these levels, extravagance and all that, and we can't partake in that. And what's happened is everybody's gotten used to living at these lower conditions of rates. In other words, it's a boomer would go to the millennial. Hey, I remember when, because he was talking about this, Shatner, double-digit interest rates. Y'all remember that? You know, and then he did sound like some old crotchy guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're sitting on the deck of the Enterprise going, you know. But he's right in the fact that boomers paid what? In mortgage rates, 9, 10, 12, 15%.
Well, that's terrible, right? Because the baby boomers got the short end of the stick here because they had to pay those high interest rates. Now you've actually accumulated funds.
And it's hard to get interest rates to earn anything. Yeah, no, absolutely. So everybody's gotten more conditioned to have mortgage rates closer to 4%. And as soon as rates start to go higher, then we see a pullback because even though we have seen an increase in labor growth as far as wages, I personally believe that has peaked, and we will now fall back to trend, and that's what we tend to do. We tend to fall back into this muck, because even as much as we want to be the cleanest dirty shirt, we are still part of a global economic society, and if they go down, we sort of go down. We don't go down as much, but with debt and with lower with conditions going on, we are in a lower growth phase, and part of it is demographics and other things. It's not really in any kind of government's control or central bank's
control. That's right. You have a big demographic issue. But, you know, when you look across the pond and you see what's going on overseas, they are lowering interest rates. So going back from where November last year was the highest we've seen in the 10-year, mm-hmm. it's also we've seen interest rates have been flying down globally. You also have some economies that are slipping into recession or already there. Germany, Italy. You look at a lot of these European nations that are having a lot of issues. So, you know, going back to this interest rates of where we see right now, this could be a good opportunity. You actually have the ability to go out and trade bonds, which historically has been difficult to do, meaning that mm-hmm. you could go in and be short duration. Now, as things have gotten higher, you could go buy a little bit longer with the expectation
at it as a buying opportunity. Don't get so discouraged by this. So don't get all wrapped up, right to your point, that bond yields are going up. Because if you're in the market for individual bonds, especially around 2%, you might find more attractive rates, or you might go out more duration. So don't get discouraged that your bonds aren't growing at this point. They might just be providing you better yields. You don't want to make knee-jerk reactions based on how these algorithms pull money in and out of sectors and asset classes. That's the last thing you want to do. Because what we could find that this is all a very big head fake, because I believe next year is going to be a way different story, especially during a horrific political cycle where parties are just everything they think is out there in social media, and the market is going to trade on every bit of it. And I'm talking about both sides being ugly. And that is going to whipsaw your portfolio. So you need to keep a level head and don't get whipsawed with it. And we will be keeping track of the bigger trends, as we talk about it already, as we move forward into next year. But to your point, we always say this, right? Don't forsake your bonds just because they're not growing like your stocks. Because we have had, I think the AG, which is the long-term bondings index, is up close to 10%.
Yeah, it's like 9, 10, right around there.
That's not supposed to happen. Bonds are not supposed to grow like that. So this will pull back, but there will be a peak to this. So if you need any help, any questions about the portfolio, we are available for you, objectively and as fiduciaries, to help. Hey, when we get back, we want to talk about the IRS updates rules on retirement plan hardship distributions. What the heck does that mean to you here at The Real Investment Show on 700 KCV, the voice of Texas? We'll be right back. Very superstitious.
Let it back to fall. Get daily investment news you can use, delivered at the speed of the internet. Sign up for the Real Investment Report now at realinvestmentadvice.com.
Welcome back. Before we get to hardship withdrawals, which again is a very, very naughty thing, when it comes to 401k distributions, there's something called leakage, which is these accounts or your retirement accounts are not designed to be a piggy bank. But I'll get off my horse here for a minute. But I want to, Brent, I'll need Brent for this only because he'll remember it, because Danny, too young. Remember mood rings?
Oh, come on.
Did you have a mood ring?
I did not, but I remember.
You didn't have one? No, as a kid, I had a mood. I had to have it, and I was like, what mood am I in? Well, I mean, that thing was crazy.
I kept burning them out.
You kept burning them. Okay, so Skittles.
Yeah.
By the way, 30th anniversary.
Are there mood Skittles?
Oh, you know where I'm going. Taste the rainbow. So the candy company conducted a survey of 2,000 Skittle eaters over the last 3 months. Okay.
There's 2,000 of those people?
There are at least 2,000 of those people. Did you know?
They have no teeth.
Do you know what the least favorite color is?
The least favorite Skittles color.
Believe it, they all taste the same, you would think, but what's the least favorite?
Blue?
Yellow.
Yellow? Mm-hmm. Really?
So, depending on the color you like, this says a lot. Dictates a little bit about your personality.
Okay.
Red Skittle fans are more likely to identify as hopeless romantics. And are more likely to be in a relationship. So if you're doubting those red Skittles.
Yeah. Hold on. Who in the heck paid to do this study? Is this a government study? It had to be.
Better not have
been. Now, I do like the green Skittles, and this says a lot.
Oh.
Because they are single and 50% more likely than other single Skittles eaters to have been ghosted by their dates.
Wow, they went pretty deep into this one.
I have the green Skittle.
Yeah.
Now. Orange Skittle people are very polite. They are more likely to respond immediately to friends' text messages. So if I want you to text me, I'm going to give you a bag of orange Skittles.
Okay.
So, well, I know what we'll be doing. We're going to have a big bowl of Skittles to figure out everybody's personality traits. No need for the test. Just eat a Skittle. Which one do you like?
I would die to see which Skittles Lance and Connie pick.
Yeah, there's
going to
be.
I have a feeling.
A new poll in November coming. It's the Skittles poll.
Now, if you eat your Skittles it's not only the color, but how you eat them. I don't know anybody who eats Skittles one by one. But if you do, you are more likely to leave a party without saying goodbye to anyone.
Really?
Or you're a shy dater.
Hmm.
or you're less likely to message people first on dating apps. And you hang your toilet paper in the over position. So you guys have a lot of problems if you're eating Skittles one by one.
I think whoever decided to come up with a survey has got a lot of problems.
I think they got too much time on their hands.
Yeah.
We should do this for M&Ms. And see
now you're talking. Plain peanut and almond.
I know what it says about Brent. He loves his M&Ms.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah? Got to have my vitamin M.
Well, speaking of hardship withdrawals, which are not as delightful as M&Ms. So you got to remember, your employer is going to allow for hardship withdrawals in certain cases. But now, the Internal Revenue Service did finalize certain updates to these distribution rules, okay? So these are in-service distributions. If you have an immediate or heavy financial need, some employers are going to be different on how they are handling this. But again, I think these rules are made to be more or easier for people to take money out of the 401k. I think the spirit of some of these, which we'll go into, it seems, again, we are allowing people to have the ability to take money out of their home, out of their 401ks, and avoid penalties to buy a home, which I think is ridiculous. Okay, I don't want to take money out of my – if I can't afford a down payment and I have to tap my retirement account to do it, that should say a lot about my overall ability to meet payments on that home and or maintenance and bills and so forth.
Well, it's about your overall financial health. And unfortunately,
exactly,
politicians have looked at this in a way to appease the masses. And doesn't mean it's right. Nor, I'm sure there's guys out there right now who you've had to tap into it for various reasons. And look, there may be a time and need. And I get it. Here's the overall sentiment, I think, Rich, is that people say, you know what, this is my money. I put these funds in. I need to be able to get to them when I want. Okay, fair enough. But just remember, you're taking from your future. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I think is most difficult for people to understand is that, well, it's better than me getting a loan on a credit card because I pay myself back within the 401k, is what most people's arguments are. The issue being is that you're taking these funds out, you're giving them the ability to not grow as they typically would, and then you are essentially, you're right now, mm-hmm, you get that instant gratification. You buy the home, you buy whatever it may be. But you know, you and I would probably make the argument that maybe you shouldn't buy that home if you weren't able to save for it.
We would absolutely
properly
make that argument to not touch this, right? Now, this is 11 years too late, because one of the things that I did back in the financial crisis when people were getting laid off in droves was I knew, based on how the financial industry tells you to put every last dang dollar you have into pre-tax accounts, that if mm-hmm you're going to be unemployed for an extended period of time and tapping those accounts, you are going to be taxed and penalized, which is even more – I mean, I'm down already, and you're going to kick me. So if I have chronic unemployment for a period, especially through a crisis, then I should be able to tap those dollars with at least avoiding the penalty. We never got to that, which sort of bothers me. So on some of these on this list of pre-approved expenses – they're looking to, it's cost related to the purchase of a principal residence. First, again, I don't believe that that's something that we need to discuss here. We already know how we feel. Expenses for deductible medical care, payments of tuition and related expenses for a spouse, child, or dependent, payments of amounts to prevent eviction or foreclosure, burial or funeral expenses, repair of damage to a principal residence that would qualify for a casualty loss deduction. I mean, I understand some of the reasons here to do that, but I think it goes back to poor financial literacy about how you prioritize your savings.
It does.
And to have an emergency reserve. Go ahead.
But I think one thing we do have to remember is that most people don't have a financial plan. Most people haven't figured out where, okay, so these are the steps. Where do I get started? That's one of the things I hear very frequently.
It is.
Where do I get started? Yep. Most people just put money aside. They put money aside where it were just taught and been ingrained in our head that we must put money in these pre-tax funds. And we do that at the expense a lot of times of putting funds in the emergency savings, putting funds
aside.
Or even, I mean, we can go as far. Some of this is pure risk management. you know, it may be an insurance issue on some of these things.
It could be. Yes.
You could do these things for a very small amount.
Good point.
And have the ability to meet some of these needs. So while these are all things that, you know, we hope and pray we don't ever have to go through, unfortunately, life does happen. And, you know, many people do encounter one of these instances where they would allow you to dip into that 401k. But, you know, the financial literacy aspect is probably the biggest thing on this, is that we act, the 401k or the government acts like it's okay to do this. We create this, you know.
It's okay.
We're nudging people. Okay. Yeah, it's not so bad. It's okay if you need to do this. Here's an avenue for it. And I think we need to get away from that. And it does need to be, there does need to be some more negative connotations with this, because the overall financial health of you and your family is going to be significantly impacted longer term. So doing a financial plan is probably the first step.
That's a very good point, because maybe you would have a way to pay tuition and related expenses. And next year, we're going to do a lot on college planning and understanding the FAFSA and all the things that maybe you can do to get money for college that you may not have done. So I do believe you, and I agree wholeheartedly. Your financial plan should be the basis, and maybe would minimize the ability if you even have to worry about taking a hardship distribution. Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Real Investment Show on 700 KSCV, the voice of Texas. Got to start some feeling so low. And I decided quickly. Yes, I did. To just go down and check out the show.
Catch the best of The Real Investment Show anytime, anywhere from Stitcher Smart Radio. Download podcasts of The Real Investment Show from Stitcher.com.
There's a ripple effect to every decision you make on every facet of your financial picture. What's your plan for success in the new year? I'm Richard Rosso, Director of Financial Planning for RIA Advisors. Let's make financial planning great again. Our next free Lunch and Learn features 10 financial rules that drive success, Wednesday, November 13th at 12:30 p.m. We'll show you how to take a holistic approach to making all your financial decisions, and we'll feed you lunch. Nothing fancy, but we'll show you how to enhance your ability to save, invest, and manage risk and debt. Register for 10 financial rules that drive success at RIAAdvisors.com. Click on the Events tab. Feel like I should be wearing a cape and jumping off a building when that song is on. What song is that?
And then I hear Pokemon and I'm like, no.
Is that what this is? Pokemon? Oh my goodness. You know what my request for next year is? New music from Brent. Johnny Cash and Hank Williams Jr. That's it.
Well, there's a story behind the music that we play on the show.
I understand. And you have a very good strategy for your music.
The Facebook gods and the YouTube gods.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And the BMI ASCAP licensing peeps don't like to play nice together.
Did you just call somebody an ASCAP?
I did. So we use music that we've purchased from Leo Maraccioli.
Yeah, no, he's very good, though.
Yeah, he does some really cool covers.
He really does. You got to get some. We got to get some. See what other covers he's doing. Yeah, I bet he does. Yeah. How many covers does this guy do?
Oh, he's got hundreds.
Yeah.
Some, not all of them are appropriate for us.
Well, I understand.
And he's been on tour this fall in Europe, so he's not been in the studio a whole lot. But I'll be looking for some more stuff for you.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. Now, how's you doing? How are you doing with your Christmas spending? Your holiday gift giving? You got your budget down. You're doing your stuff.
I purchased two items.
Really? Mm-hmm. For Sophie.
No, got a book for my dad.
Oh,
got a Fire Stick for my son-in-law.
I think books are incredible gifts.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah,
I got to come up with my gift. My book list for next year is pretty exciting.
Yeah,
for every reader of Real Investment Advice. But according to the National Retail Federation, consumers are going to spend about $1,047 this holiday season, up 4% over last year, and about $660 of it on gifts.
And they're going to get it from their 401k.
Yeah, they're going to take a hardship withdrawal. Nobody who listens to this show, I'm surprised the government hasn't added that in. Holiday gifts.
Oh, it's coming.
You know it's coming. Another 5 years. So one thing I always want to help people understand is that I think those who don't get emotionally wrapped up in gift-giving season have a budget for it, right? And it's written budget. And I think that they know their number. And we always hear in this financial industry about what is your number when it comes to retirement, right? Well, what the heck is your number for gifting? You set that goal and you don't exceed it. If you say you're going to give, if you're going to have a, if you have a $500 gift budget or $300, whatever it is, first I will ask you if you can cut it compared to last year's number, even if you ever remember it, right? And then once you know that number, get a pen and paper and start writing stuff down, right?
You have to.
Who gets what? I'm going to spend this amount on this person. A good old-fashioned pen and paper to write it down. Every gift recipient has a specific dollar amount next to it, and you don't exceed the total. It's really, this is simple stuff, but I think we get wrapped up
in
gifts and
You have these things come on television, and you feel like you have to have them, or you see you're walking through the mall, and there's a great sale, and you think, oh, man, Richard would love this sweater.
And the catalogs. And
this is fantastic, but Richard's been, you've got $40 next to your name instead of 80, but you think, you know what, I'm never going to find a deal like this. This is typically $150. You got to go buy it, right? And so you do, and then you get out of whack. And so, you know, if you're married, I think that this is a family discussion you need to have. My wife and I have some set limits on what we purchase each other during the holidays. You know,
I know you guys have some good rules.
Well, and a lot of times we don't buy anything for each other. Uh-huh. I mean, it's just kind of like, hey, we're going to take the family on a trip, or we're going to do these, do something different.
So you're making it maybe about an experience versus stuff.
Yeah, which I mean, I think there's cool. A lot of that. I mean, yeah. I feel like we do a pretty good job throughout the year, and if something's needed, we'll address it. And you know, my wife is great because she's not one to want a whole lot. Now, if she needs something. Like, she's the one, though, who's like, well, just get me some new running shoes. I'm like, you ran, like, 10,000 miles in these things. What are you doing? Like, go buy them throughout the year. I'm not going to buy you something you need. I want to buy you something you actually want.
Michelle, you're such a romantic. I don't even know what to say. Can you get me socks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we get those, too. But at the end of the day, I do think you have to have that list. You need to take the emotion out of it. And so I know you do such a good job. You actually keep a list year after year.
So I know how my spending is trending.
Correct. Yeah, that's awesome.
And also make sure I fight with a lot of people.
So that you get them off the list?
I cross them off the list.
Like you break up with your girlfriend before Valentine's Day?
Or they ghost me and I don't have to buy anything. I did get myself a Christmas sweater.
Okay.
Do you know what it says? It's got Santa's face on it.
It says Bah Humbug?
No, it says, I don't believe in you either. So I thought that was pretty cool. So you want to work with, to Danny's point, you want to work within your number. Don't erase your number. Don't change your number. Stay within each recipient's total guideline, okay? You don't, and I think this is one good one, don't add new recipients after a specific deadline date. In other words, get your list together, put a lot of effort into thinking about who you're getting gifts for, and then after a certain point in time, don't add. And if you are going to add, then you're going to have to reduce the dollars you're spending on other people. You don't just go, oh, now I'm going to spend $550. So again, this is important. And always keep that list with you. It's easy. I know some people are going to use their phones. They're going to put it in the notes. I get that. But that makes it easy for you to erase and change and all that. I still think you need to just have a piece of paper and a pen to do it.
Yeah, there's something more. There's more finality to it, and you feel like you have to stick to that, right? Like I work off of a list with basically everything I do, and I'm more productive when I do versus just having something on the calendar, because you get this sense of checking something off. Oh wait, I have to do this because I wrote this down, versus typing it somewhere. And I think there's a lot to that in the sense that something psychologically that forces us to kind of uphold what we've set, the rules we've set. You know, and I think so holiday spending is always so tough because of the emotional aspect that you discussed. You know, you have Black Friday coming up. Cyber Monday is going to be here before you know it.
They're already starting. Walmart's already got online deals. I mean, you're going to see the deals. There is no Black Friday is just a coincidence now. I mean, there's going to be Gray Monday and Blue Tuesday. It's going to be like Skittles. They should run us. They should do a study on depending on what holiday you. Well, what is Black Friday or whatever day you buy on?
Yeah.
What kind of, are you cheap or are you extravagant? They should be doing studies on that kind of stuff to figure it out. But again, it is really important. And last year, the retail, and again, the National Retail Federation is a bit of a cheerleading group, right? Oh, yeah. People are going to be out there and spend. You know, last year wasn't as spectacular as everybody thought it was going to be.
But I wonder how it's going to play off this year. You know, yeah, last year, obviously, we were in the middle of a big downturn in the market. So everybody did probably, you know, say, whoa, hey, we're gonna cut it back a tad bit. This year, we've had a pretty good run-up. So I wonder if consumer confidence is going to be a little bit higher, even though we are starting to see, you know, CEO confidence is waning a bit. CFOs, similar type of, psychology is what we see moving forward. But it could just be moving into an election year. So there is that uncertainty, which we typically see executives begin to think, okay, well, you're projecting for the future. You know, maybe there's going to be more volatility. Maybe we don't, well, there's a lot of unknowns. So we are going to scale back. And that could be something maybe separate from what's actually going on with the everyday, with you and I, right? The consumers.
And you don't need to spend a lot, right, for the sentiment. I think, Brent brought up a great point. There are books everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Half-price books and so forth. And you know somebody is interested in a very specific hobby. It's really the thought of it. You don't have to spend, be extravagant on your gift. I remember like in the 90s and even in the 80s, like every time you had to buy somebody a gift, it was always like how much you spent.
The best gifts are personalized, right?
Right. Very much so. We would have my daughter make certain little crafts and so forth when she was little as gifts, as Christmas tree ornaments and so forth. Those went a long way. So just because you may not have a big budget, it doesn't mean that you can't go to the dollar store. There's one on every block to create something. Or go to Half Price Books and get a used book, a book on a specific topic that people really love. It's, again, it is the sentiment behind the gift. Although companies would love for you to get gift cards because of all the unused dollars. Do you ever read some of those studies about how much people, when they buy gift cards, how many gift cards out there never get used and or underutilized? And there are whole businesses on buying those cards, trading them, and so forth.
Oh, it's got to be huge. We have a book. Like, you know, you have those clear sheets that you put business cards in?
Yeah.
We put gift cards in there. And we have to make a concerted effort to actually go do it.
You're like the Waltons of... I love that idea. That is a great idea, though. Because you actually now have those cards in front of you as opposed to lost in some stack, which we tend to do.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It took us a lot of time to figure out how to organize that.
You talk about it. That's a good idea. Yeah, so you get a book with...
Well, you put them in a binder, like a binder sheet. You used to put business cards. Remember when everybody used to do that before they scanned them?
Yeah.
We use those. And so that way you can flip through and we try to organize them to somewhat say, okay, well, here's retailers, Macy's, Dillard's, whatever it may be. Here's you want to eat out? Oh, okay, here's where we can go eat out this weekend. So we started to realize we had this big stack that we never used.
Yeah.
And so it's great. I mean, you could even re-gift them.
Brent,
I've never
that's
done
a
that.
Brilliant. But. I just want to hug every one of them. I want to hug the Ratliff family like every day.
Oh, man.
Isn't that?
We're a hot mess.
Crazy Uncle Rich is here again hugging us. That is a cool idea, I must admit. I am going to take that into account. I'm going to have to write about that. That's awesome. Well, hey, hope you learned something as well as I did this morning here at The Real Investment Show. We have Chris Salcedo coming up next. Lance next week here on 700 KACV, the voice of Texas. Do not change that dial.
Money, money, money. Must be funny in a rich man's world. Money, money, money. Always sunny in a rich man's world. Smash!